Welcome back to the Tan and J-Man Show. I'm your co-host, Josh the J-Man Munn. Sitting next to me is Tanner T-Dog Lee. How are you doing on this beautiful 80-degree March day?
Not near as good as you are.
I'm doing all right. Yes, the Final Four is set, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. We got Arizona and Michigan and UConn and Illinois on one side, on the other side. So I'm doing pretty dang good today, I will say.
21 years later, worth the wait?
Yeah, worth the wait. Yes, 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 definitely. I mean, the wait sucked, mainly in the teens, 2010s, I should say, when they had a seven-year NCAA tourney drought. But yeah, it's made it that much sweeter, being able to make it back to a Final Four. I mean, I was 13 years old last time. Oh, they went, so I can really appreciate it more, you know, being 34 years old now and all of that. So, and I'll talk about that a little later, but I'm beaming today.
Well, you know, and I was thinking after it happened on Saturday, and then after Purdue lost, which we'll talk about to Arizona, you know, we started this podcast in November of 2016, and we've said this many different times, shortly after the Cubs won the World Series. Mm-hmm. And then that was also the year earlier, the Broncos won Super Bowl 50. And for a long time, neither of us had a lot to celebrate or talk no, about. No. And then Purdue made the national championship in basketball in 2024. Broncos made the AFC championship this year. And Josh kept waiting. And mm-hmm. Here it is.
Yeah, you've said it before. Like, you have such a good year, you want to have something, you know, like Big Ten regular season title, Big Ten tournament title. Purdue got that this year. Illinois got neither of those, but they will be able to hang their hat on. They made a Final Four. So I'm very happy that this team was able to do it. But yeah.
Yeah, we got a lot of basketball to talk about, but we also have our MLB season preview tonight, which we pushed back by a week last week. So that does lead me to my birdie or bogey question, since it is baseball related, but I'm gonna let you pick.
Oh, okay.
Do you want this question? It's a pitching related question.
Okay.
To be wins related, starts related, shutouts related, or strikeouts related?
Go strikeouts. Strikeouts related, yeah.
All right. Who has the most career opening day strikeouts?
Oh, man. What was it, all opening day stuff? Yeah. Like, who has the most career? Okay. Man, that's brutal. I have no idea. But Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Jaretti's Place. Small town vibes, big time flavor. Jaretti's Place serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites that keep you coming back for more. Located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
Yes, Jaretti's Place, great place to get lunch, breakfast and lunch in Rochester. Breakfast on Fridays and Saturdays, lunch throughout the week. But also, exciting news just announced today, this afternoon, this evening. Their sister restaurant, the Arlington Public House, is reopening this week, April 2nd, Thursday through Saturday. So, very exciting cool. Stuff. They've been closed since December. So,
I was going to say, I didn't know that.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, I think Rochester's pretty excited to see it getting back open and getting going. So then you'll be able to – then you can have breakfast and lunch at Jaretti's and go back to uptown later and then get dinner at Arlington. So,
bang, bang.
Bang, bang.
All that, yeah.
Yes, yes, indeed. What do you want to start with, J-Man?
We can talk some basketball and then get into some baseball talk here. Yeah, what were your ultimate takeaways from the second weekend or second – I guess Thursday we can throw in a weekend as well, but second weekend of the NCAA tourney?
A lot of chalk. Yeah. But definitely some exciting games and some exciting finishes. Purdue was a part of one of those in a buzzer-beating win over Texas to get to the Elite Eight, which was a nerve-wracking game because – if that game goes into overtime, I don't think Purdue makes it to the Elite Eight. Just maybe that's a pessimistic view of me, but just ups and downs, the momentum of the game, that's what it was telling me. But, I mean, overall, though, like I said, a lot of chalk. But get one of the all-time classic games in the Elite Eight in UConn and Duke yesterday. But I got to be honest, I didn't watch a single second live of either one of the games yesterday.
I watched the final 29 seconds of the Duke-UConn. That was all I watched, right? And that's all I needed to watch. Yeah. I just figured it was – I mean, it was a blowout, so I didn't even bother tuning in. And then UConn just kept fighting back, and I got a text from my dad that says, man, UConn's – I can't believe this. And I turned it, and UConn, I think, was down three at that time, but they hit, you know, one free throw to cut two. And then, of course, the one of the most insane sequences you've ever seen. All Caden Boozer has to do is just hold the ball.
Mm-hmm. Get fouled.
I mean, they would have fouled him. I think they, if they didn't foul you, he wouldn't have got like a 10-second violation because there was such a small amount between 10-second and end of game. But you see the bench and Shire's telling him to kind of pass it ahead. He's kind of like, throw it. And unfortunately for him and fortunately for UConn, the defender made an unbelievable play just to tip it and then able to recover and grab the ball. And then a guy – I credit Alex Caravan too because he's a veteran. He's been there forever. It feels like he's won at least one national title, if not two. I don't know if he's a senior. I think he's a senior.
I believe he is.
He had a chance to shoot a really bad three with about 4 seconds left. But he passed it to a guy that had a much better look, although it was a very, very, very deep look. And the guy nailed it. I mean, Mullins was, I think, 18% from three over his last 10 games. And sometimes that's all you need is just you got to shoot it. You can't think about it. Just shoot it. And that worked out for them. But, man, what a choke job by Duke. And that's now back-to-back years where they've had quite a classic choke. I mean, they're up six with 30 seconds left in the Final Four to Houston last year. And blew it and lost it overtime. And then this one up 19 in the first half, 17 at one point in the second half. And they had the ball under 10 seconds left with a 2-point lead. And they were able to find a way to lose that. So,
I mean, they didn't choke per se, but in 2024, they get beaten to lead eight by an NC State team that probably had no business beating them.
Yeah, and an 11 seeded NC State team that wouldn't have made the tourney at all if it weren't for a miracle run in the ACC tourney.
So, looking at Duke, they get more talented players usually year in, year out to anybody. They haven't been to a championship game since 2015.
Yeah, I know.
Wild.
They've been to two Final Fours at least. And I'm sure they've been to more than just two, but of course, Coach K's last game ever get beat by, you know, a 8 or 9 seed North Carolina team and then choke job last year. Eventually that Shire can't win the big one is rearing its ugly head and it's starting to already, which is stupid because you just got to keep getting there, you know, until you
and
get
they will. And they will.
100% will.
Yeah.
There has been kind of some rumors that Shire might be a candidate for an NBA job this offseason. So maybe he jumps ship to the NBA, which I hate the NBA and I love college basketball. So I say it's stupid to do that. But, you know, you don't have to deal with kind of the politics of college basketball these days. But, that was an absolute classic game. The Purdue game, as you said, was great. Michigan just blew the doors off of Tennessee, which you knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, honestly. And Tennessee surprised Iowa State. Man, I don't remember the last time I saw a team struggle from the free throw line like Iowa State did.
Yeah. I feel bad for Iowa State losing their best player, Joshua Jefferson. It happens, though, but you lose it early in game one of the NCAA tourney and – you feel like you probably have a pretty good shot to get to a Final Four, even though they would have had to play Michigan yesterday. So that's rough.
Basketball's weird. Basketball's weird.
It is.
Yeah. And that's what makes the tournament great. A lot of these matchups that have been surprising, if you play the series out 10 games, it's not going to go in the upset's favor.
Right.
And the break between the second round and the Sweet 16 is always interesting, too. Because it allows teams to reset, which is a good thing for teams maybe like Duke, which, I mean, I know they lost yesterday in the Elite Eight, but they didn't look good round one against Siena.
Yeah.
Finally got it going round two in the second half against TCU. It's like, all right, now they can get it going and get it clicking. And then a team like Houston, who looked like they could do no wrong through the first two rounds, couldn't throw in the ocean. against Illinois, and some of that was credit to Illinois' defense. Couldn't throw in the ocean in their backyard, and I mean, Illinois has a goes into Houston and beats them in a game I don't think a lot of people probably unfairly gave Illinois a chance.
I didn't. Honestly, I was one of them that didn't give them much of a chance. But
in Iowa, you got the story of Iowa, you know,
exactly.
Florida, and it was Iowa against Nebraska. And I think, even though it sounds crazy, I think a lot of people weren't giving Iowa a chance in that game against Nebraska,
including us. Yeah,
found a way to win. And I'm sitting there watching Illinois, Iowa the other day. I'm like, Iowa's a win away from going to the Final Four.
Yeah,
first time since 1980. And I'm like, they were playing so bad at the end of the year. Like,
Well, yeah, that's kind of the thing, and it kind of. I know we'll forget by next year, but like if our team struggled in February, we can't get so down because both of our teams struggled in February. Iowa struggled in February. And here we go. You know, Iowa makes an Elite Eight. Purdue rattles off 7 in a row to get to an Elite Eight. Illinois in the Final Four. So
yeah.
February matters, but in the grand scheme of things, it really doesn't.
Yeah.
Unless you're, you know, fighting for your, you know, tourney life or whatever. But if you're a good team, it doesn't matter all that much.
Ray Davis on Facebook. What about UNC and them not having their best player and they get rid of Coach Davis?
Yeah, they obviously they blew a big lead to VCU, a 19-point lead in the second half. And I think they did Hubert kind of dirty. He probably should have not. I wouldn't say should have been fired, but like it made sense to fire him. They shouldn't have waited till Wednesday or Thursday to do it. They could have done it on Monday. Now they're going to postpone their search until after the Final Four, which tells you that they're hard after, Tommy Lloyd, at the
or Dusty May
or Dusty May. I hope it's Dusty May.
See, the thing about either one of them though, is if either one of them wins a national title, I don't think they can leave that school.
No. Yeah. I'm with you. Especially. Yeah. This year.
Especially Lloyd, if he wins in Arizona, I don't think he's leaving.
Yeah. There have been talks that Arizona just doesn't have the money in money talks.
Which is crazy because they have three or four McDonald's All-Americans on their team.
Yeah. And they're in the Big 12 now. It's not like they're in the Pac-10 where it's, you know.
I mean, I still think they have money. It's just not Duke, UNC, even Indiana money. I still think, I mean, they get premier athletes. That team was pretty darn good on Saturday night.
Yeah. I thought Purdue played as well as they possibly could have in the first half. And then Arizona just wore them down.
Sure.
For a team that doesn't shoot three ball, they're ridiculous. That was like the first time I'd really watched them. I watched the majority of the first half and all of the second half. And they're just a buzzsaw. Like, it just kept coming and coming. It was crazy to watch.
You know, it kind of reminded me a little bit of the Illinois-UConn game. A
little bit.
Years going to Elite Eight where Illinois is hanging in there. Then UConn goes on that 30-0 run. In this comparison, it was 18-3 run for Arizona. Mm-hmm. But, boom, it's over, like, pretty quick. And crowds into it. It was 75-25, I bet.
Yeah.
Arizona. Right. Purdue, that was according to my uncle who was there. Yeah, I mean, at half, I got my hopes up, of course, up 7.
I
felt like they gave themselves a 50-50 chance being up 7.5. You knew Arizona was going to make a run. I didn't think Arizona would win by 15, though.
Yeah.
But is what it is. Just sad to see Braden Smith, Trey Kaufman, Ren Fletcher Lawyer leave because they've brought a lot of Purdue fans some great memories over the last 4 years. I mean, Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer started every single game of their career.
Wow.
At Purdue. That's incredible. Never missed any due to injury or anything like that. All-time win in his class, yada, yada, yada. Braden, all-time assist leader for the NCAA tournament. Now Purdue resets next year. I still think they'll be pretty good. They're just going to look a lot different. Offense will probably be a lot different. Of course, we don't even know what's going to happen with the portal yet. They could lose a guy or two that I don't foresee them losing. And possibly Oscar Clough could be back. There's a lot to play there, but that's a big if, but it could happen. So we'll wait and see. But I've said this multiple times in text messages the last few days. As long as Matt Painter's at the helm of Purdue, they're going to probably be pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. They were outclassed athletically, which I think Arizona does to everyone pretty much. The matchup between them and Michigan will be fascinating though, because they're both big, both very good athletes. But Purdue doesn't have, and Illinois doesn't either, but Purdue does not have the athletes to really hang with Arizona. And I thought they did a heck of a job, you know, the first 22, 24 minutes. But
yeah, Matt Painter, 17 NCAA tournament appearances. He's ran into the eventual – let me bring it up real quick. It's a crazy stat. I don't want to get it wrong. I thought I had it memorized in my head. In 17 NCAA tournaments under Matt Painter, 9 of the teams that eliminated Purdue advanced to the Final Four or better,
wow,
including Arizona. 6 of them advanced to the title game with 4 winning it all.
Wow.
So, of course, you know, everybody wants to bring up North Texas and St. Peter's and FDU. But other than that, in
Little Rock,
which nobody talks about now except,
yeah,
it's because it was a decade ago. But, yeah, a lot of times they unfortunately just run to a one seed. And Purdue all times 0-10 now against one seeds. Mm. So one of these days maybe they'll get one. But
yeah, you just got to keep getting there. I mean, it took, yep, what, Painter 12-ish, 13 years to get to his first Elite Eight. And then however many to get to
that would have been 14 years.
14 years and then
– then 20 to get 20 to the
Final Four. So you just got to keep getting there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's all it is.
Yep. And yeah, it's like, it's not hurting me. It helps when you lose by 15.
For it's sure.
Sticking with me like the Broncos AFC Championship loss did, which took me like 2 weeks to get over. Yeah. But that also had the what if factor.
Right.
There was an injury to the starting quarterback in Bo Nix, and Purdue was fully healthy and just they got beat by a better team that once again in a series of 10, they might be lucky, honestly, to get one or two of those. So
yeah.
I personally think they ran into the best team in the tournament, but they also kind of did it to themselves. They lost 5 home games. You win a couple of those. I mean, you might be the 2 seed somewhere else, not in the West. Or
even all of them
might be a 1 seed, you know. So back to February did matter for them.
It did.
But yeah, it's so weird. Like, I've been asked, like, is this a success or a failure for Purdue? Like, well, if you go back to start of season, everybody was pumping up for national championship. So overall, if I'm thinking about that, it's a failure because they didn't get to Indianapolis. That was the goal, right? But if I break it up into chunks, then the from February on, the season was a success because they got hot in March and then
right
in row. So I don't know. That's a tough one for me to answer. But
yeah,
Mitch Melton here for you.
Yeah, how do I watch Mirkovich run up and down the court every week? it is awkward, but I love that guy like I would my own son at this
That's
point.
Fair.
He's. You can argue. You have a very good argument that he's their most important player because when he plays bad, the team plays bad. And there have been
big shots.
He hit some big shots. He's tough as heck. 12 rebounds. His shot wasn't falling against Iowa. He grabbed 12 rebounds, 5 of them offensively.
What were you thinking when they got down 12-2?
You know, I said it in the chat before the game. Like, I was playing with house money. Illinois has all the pressure on them. I think Illinois comes out tight. Sure enough, they were tight. And credit Iowa, they were hitting everything early. Got down 12-2, didn't really think it mattered all that much, honestly, because I thought they'd punch back. And they did. I mean, they put Andre Stojakovic in, and that's when it kind of turned in the first half. I got nervous, very nervous, second half with about 8 minutes left when Illinois was up 1. That's when I'm like, neither team could get a stop. It was back and forth. Literally, I think there was 12 straight lead changes or something like that. 10 straight lead changes. He doesn't look good out there at all. He's not an athlete. Couldn't jump over a phone book. He's skilled though, and he's smart and he's strong. And they got to throw a blank check at him because I think he could be a leading candidate for Big Ten Player of the Year next year. Heck of an eval too by the staff because. A lot of people, when he was coming in, thought he might be a bench piece or so. Kind of like Wagler. They thought he'd be a bench piece, and those two guys were put together two of the best freshman years ever at Illinois. Wagler definitely put together the best. And then Mirkovich passed Kofi for most rebounds ever by a freshman at Illinois. I don't even remember. Oh, I got nervous when they were down 1 or up 1, and then they finally were able to get some stops. Their defense was awesome. Really has been all tourney. Gave up 55 points to Houston, 59 points to Iowa, 55 points to VCU. They were finally able to get some shots, get some stops. Iowa only had 6 field goals in the second half. And including they shot one for their last 13 during the final 8 minutes, and Illinois in turn went 7 of 10 from the floor. So it was very satisfying, because just remember when Underwood started, he's like, we're gonna win. It might take a little bit, but we're gonna win. And sure enough, his first 2 years there were the losingest 2 year stretch in the history of Illinois basketball. And here he is, you know, 7 years removed from those 2 years, and he's in the Final Four. So,
was he on the hot seat going to that third year? Or was everybody understanding it was going to take a while?
Everyone was understanding. When you're starting Michael Finke at the five, that's pretty telling.
He walked so these guys can run.
Yeah, that's what he likes to tell himself, I'm sure. No, they were very young, and obviously it was a different game back then, or 7 years ago. You didn't have the portal, so you had to kind of you had to build through recruiting classes. He was able to land Io DeSumo, which was the program changer. I mean, he changed everything. He comes in, wins Big Ten Freshman of the Year immediately, and then 2 year stretch where they're very good, including getting one seed in the NCAA tourney, and then he was able to get Kofi in the mix as well, and it was kind of game on from there. But I was very patient with him. Some people were not patient with him. Fans were on his case, and they were on his case up until Saturday. Can't win the big one. Kind of how the Ainters, the Matt Painter haters were back in the day until he finally got there.
There's still some out there.
I'm sure there are. In fact, one guy on the message board said today, he said the basketball run is great and everything, but I can't, but can we have some football news? And everyone was ripping on him on the board. Like, shut up,
you
man.
Don't do that now. I hope he was joking.
He wasn't. No, he was being deadly serious because spring ball was, or something was happening.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, Illinois got some breaks, and sometimes you need some breaks when it comes to who you're playing. Because obviously playing Houston in Houston was brutal, and they're a tough matchup anyway, and I thought Illinois handled them from the jump, especially start second half. They really went on a run. But they were very, very fortunate to face an Iowa team that could not match up size-wise or skill-wise. They're a good
team. You're familiar with them. That's the nice
thing. And familiar with them.
You know?
Which that's the thing that scared me going into that game, is Iowa's familiar with Illinois. Sure. And Illinois has dominated them for better half of a decade, which also scares me, because Iowa's going to break through eventually.
But good on Illinois for taking advantage of the bracket breaking, too.
Because for sure.
That's one thing, like I was saying today, like, besides 2021-22 season, Purdue's never really had the bracket break their way. But that year was the ultimate bracket break their way, and they peed down their leg. Yeah. So I've
seen some people on there say Illinois had the easiest road to get there. I don't care.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Michigan's road's been pretty dang easy too. They got to face an Alabama team without their starting point guard and a 6 seed Tennessee.
Very true.
In the Elite Eight. So. And again, it goes back to, and I've said this before, they've had to face, you know, as a 1 seed, they had to face an 8 seed Loyola that was top 10 in the Ken Pom. The next year, when they were a 4 seed, they had to face a 5 seed Houston team that was top 10 in the Ken Pom. So it's about time they caught some break. Then they ran into, in the Elite Eight, one of the best teams this century in UConn. So yeah, exactly. So I'm not going to apologize, for them making the Final Four.
Ray Davis here. How many Indiana high school former players are coming back to Indy for the Final Four? I believe 3.
Illinois has 2 of them.
Yes. I believe Mullins, Hummerkaus, and Davis are the only Jake 3, Davis. I believe. Because
Michigan doesn't have any guy, huh?
No, Arizona doesn't have any.
No, they have a bunch of
Michigan foreigners. Got all the portal guys.
That's fair.
Yeah. Because Mullins is from Greenfield Central, Hummerkaus, Tipton, and Jake Davis Cathedral. I believe that's it, unless AI's –
I can't imagine Arizona has any. It would be interesting if it was an Illinois-Arizona final with Boswell facing his former team.
True.
So that would kind of be. And, of course, if it's Michigan-Illinois, it'd be Merez Johnson against his former team.
Arizona is the one that hasn't made the championship in the longest amount of time. It's 2001. Illinois 05.
Yeah.
Michigan – what, 2018?
17 or 18.
I think 17 or 18, the UConn 2 years ago.
It's hard to believe that Arizona had not been to a Final Four since 01.
I know.
That was shocking. I mean, they kept getting the Elite Eights, and Sean Miller could never get them over the hump, ever.
I don't even think they've been to Elite Eight since 2015.
It's been that long since
15 or 17, I think. Yeah, because they were just fall. I remember 1 year they lost to Buffalo, I believe.
Yeah, right? They lost to 2 years ago. They lost to a 15 seed. Who was it? They were a 2 seed. And they lost to the 15. I don't remember who that was. Oh, it was Princeton.
Mm.
When Princeton went to the Sweet 16.
Yeah. That was with Candon Pierce, who's now probably going to be Purdue starting power four next year. So.
Mm.
So,
but all right, who are you picking this weekend?
Yes, first games, Illinois, UConn.
Mm-hmm.
If it was Duke, Illinois, I think I'd pick Duke, but I really think Illinois matches up well to UConn. They played earlier this year, but Wagner rarely played or didn't play well, at least. I think Illinois gets them.
Yeah, Illinois, last I checked, was a 2.5-point favorite. It's been between 1.5 and 2.5 all day. If they were to face Duke, they would have been a 3.5-point underdog. Which, again, Boozer's the mismatch nightmare for everyone, especially is for Illinois.
I think Illinois is more talented. Not saying UConn's not talented, but the thing about UConn, they showed yesterday, they know how to win.
They do. That's the thing that scares you.
Coach has been through it.
Yeah, they played each other back in November with UConn winning by 12. But you look at the box score, as you said, Wagler had 3 points in 15 minutes. David Mirkovic had played 18 minutes. Mihailo Petrovic played 18 minutes. I don't think he hit 18 minutes the rest of the year combined. Brandon Lee played 11 minutes.
Never heard of that, man.
Exactly. With that being said, this will be the J-Man's Book and Prediction of the Week. I think we get an all Big Ten final. Illinois, Michigan. I hope not.
I'm not one of those conference loyalty people.
I'm not either. I'd much rather face Arizona, mainly because I'd much rather lose to Arizona.
Well, that's you got to think Illinois is going to have the most fans there.
I think Michigan will have a bunch.
Michigan will bring a bunch, but then Arizona, UConn probably won't
have too many. UConn probably not, just because they win every single year, it feels like. Arizona should bring some because, you know, they haven't been there before, but it is a long trip. Illinois, in theory, should have the most, and I am anticipating they will. The best case scenario for me is Illinois versus Arizona. Second best case scenario is UConn versus Arizona. I don't want to face Michigan at all. J-Man's Book of British Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers' Comp, and Farm Insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561.
Once again, I know Michigan's stupid talented, and you can flip a coin between them and Arizona pretty much, but you're familiar with Michigan, though.
Yes. The thing that scares me is Michigan blew them out in Champaign. Again, that was a month plus ago, and Illinois is playing much better now than they were.
Yeah.
But Michigan just scares me, and I can't stand to see Dusty May's slime bally face. But
and Arizona is so unique; they are so good at what they do, getting you in foul trouble and hitting free throws. They don't miss free throws.
Illinois. I mean, they won a game against Iowa where they shot 3 of 17. From the 3-point line, and they're the team that makes, you know, 12 a game or something like that. They're going to have to hit 18 to 20.
And now everybody's shooting in football stadium now, which always affects things.
Last time Illinois played at Lucas Oil was when they won the Big Ten tourney in 2021. So obviously no one from that team is there now, but at least they have good history in Lucas Oil.
Right, who do we got on the other side of the bracket?
I chose Michigan, remember?
Oh, I did. I haven't chosen anybody.
Oh, sorry.
That's where I was. I'm going to take Arizona.
Okay.
I think it'll be a good game. I don't know. Maybe it's just because Purdue beat Michigan and lost to Arizona. I don't know. It's just crazy to me. A team is so good and they don't shoot a lot of threes. It's just, they're fundamentally sound and they're fast. They're athletic. They're big. They do what they do. They've only lost 2 games on the year.
Yeah.
It should be a heck of a game.
Yeah, it's. I think Michigan was favored last I saw by 1.5 or so. It'd be the first time ever that if they close, both games would be the favorite would be by 1.5 or less.
That's crazy.
So they're expecting them to be very good, which usually means they're going to be blowouts.
I thought for a while we were getting 3-1s in Illinois, who's a 3, respectively.
Yeah.
Wasn't the case.
Yeah.
Overall, though, tournament for the most part, pretty chalky. I think that, yeah, that's going to be the fact going forward.
If you're a top four seed making the Final Four, I think it's pretty chalky. I mean, that's a top 16 team.
Right.
You know, and obviously I think Illinois was the 10th team. So they're in three of the top four teams on KenPom are in there with UConn, or not UConn. UConn, I think, is ranked 9th or 10th on KenPom. But Illinois was fourth, and then you have Arizona and Michigan top two.
I guess, though, a four probably had to get by a one seed.
That's fair. And they had to do it in the Sweet 16 as opposed to the Elite Eight. So.
Well, and get past the five in the second round, which is not easy because that's a toss-up.
That's fair.
Most likely, unless you're, you know, Wisconsin, lose the High Point. So.
Everyone point and laugh at Wisconsin.
They kind of have to at this point.
I have my blind rank here, which is NCAA tourney related, and it's NCAA tournament moments. Doesn't have to be buzzer beaters or anything, just moments. And I want you to rank them based on how memorable they were to you.
Sure.
Starting with the Loyola Final Four run.
I'm going to put it at five. I mean, cool story and all, but I couldn't name you who all they beat. I remember they lost to Michigan in the Final Four.
Yeah. I can only, now that you say that, I didn't even think about that. I remember they beat Miami in round one in that 11-6 game on a buzzer beater. That's the only one I remember.
Who they beat. Sister Jean's the thing I remember.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah. Gordon Hayward missed half quarter at the buzzer in the national title game.
Yeah, that one, of course, was in Indianapolis. Butler's Indianapolis, the school. I was just so jealous and ticked off. I'm like, this could be Purdue.
Yeah.
And everything, you know. And then that shot was the second closest long buzzer beater attempt I've ever seen going in, aside from Tyler Tanner's Nebraska for Vanderbilt. Man, I'm going to put that at two, I think. Okay. No, I remember right where I was when I watched.
I do too. Yeah. Number three here, UCLA coming back and beating Adam Morrison's Gonzaga team.
Yeah. I don't remember watching that game. It was a late one. I remember my dad telling me about it because he was a big Morrison fan and felt terrible. I remember the visual of the next day of Adam Morrison crying when the game's still going on.
Yeah.
Because it was over. You know, that kind of started that. Will Gonzaga ever do it? We've seen them make the championship since, but I don't think they're ever going to win.
I think their time's done.
Yeah. I'm going to put that at four.
Okay. UMBC's upset over Virginia.
Yeah. I mean, first 16 to ever do it. One of only two 16s to ever do it.
I think I watched at your house with you.
At least the start.
First
of the
half,
game.
At least.
Yeah. I'll put it at three. I'll put it at three. I'm hoping you have the moment I think you're going to have at one, but this could backfire on me.
I think it's going to backfire on you.
Great. Thanks.
Kevin Ware's broken leg.
Oh, yeah. This backfired big time. yeah, that was, but I remember right where I was watching that one.
Yeah, me too.
I got to put at one. That was just absolutely disgusting. I thought you were going to go Jenkins buzzer beater to win the national title.
No, I tried to stay away from like huge moments like that because I think that's very clear number one.
Yeah, that's top three of all time.
Yeah.
That Leitner, Bryce Drew probably.
Yeah, I tried to make them all 21st century.
Mullins now. Mario Chalmers.
That too.
You could pick other upsets, but a re-rank, I'm probably putting Hayward one. UMBC two. I put Kevin Ware three and leave Morrison four and then the Loyola on five. Cause at least the first three moments I remember where I was.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. I would say that's how I would re-rank them too.
Good list though. Yeah. Very good list, though. And the blind ranking segment is brought to you by Like It Is Every Week, Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
MLB preview. We only got about 25 minutes to do this. We probably should have waited till next week.
That's all right.
No, but that's okay.
Can I tell you one more thing about Purdue real quick?
Yes.
Can I say one more thing? The Braden Trey Kaufman, Brandon Fletcher, Lawyer. Hate to see him go. Like I said, Wayne's class, a lot of memories. But I have a tough time saying they didn't leave the program better than they found it.
Definitely. So,
and that's always, I think, a senior class's role that stays there over 4 years. It'll be interesting to see if Purdue can keeping classes there throughout the years, but I think they're going to try their best.
So. As a fan of one of Purdue's, you know, conference rivals, I'm very, sure. very glad to see him gone.
I think anybody that's not a Purdue fan is, because this Purdue team was not very liked on social media, even outside the Big Ten. So.
Even in February by some Purdue fans, they weren't overly thrilled about the way the team was playing. But I will do take solace in the fact that those guys ended their career on a 2-game losing streak to Illinois. So,
they did.
I can hold that over their head. Your head, I should say.
Thad Moody on YouTube, the day after the UMBC was a notch on the Purdue curse.
Yeah, it was. American League East, who you have winning it?
I got the New York Yankees.
I do as well. They brought Cody Bellinger back, trade for Ryan Weathers. Garrett Cole should be back sometime in the first half. Yeah,
eventually.
They should be pretty dang good.
They're off to a good start so far.
Yeah, this is a division. They're loaded, and it honestly wouldn't surprise me to see any of the top four win the division. But I think the Yankees are the best of the bunch.
I still don't trust Aaron Boone, but
I don't either. Who you have finishing second?
I got the Blue Jays.
I would probably have the Blue Jays, but in my bold predictions, I said they'd miss the playoffs. So I have the Baltimore Orioles, who are down.
Oh yeah. Just wait. One of my bold predictions, I had to put somebody up there that.
Orioles were down last year, but the offense should be great. Traded for Taylor Ward, signed Pete Alonso, their top prospect, Samuel Basalo, is going to hold down the DH spot. Pete
Alonso's in Baltimore now.
Pitching's a concern, but Trevor Rogers was awesome in the second half, and they need him desperately to replicate. So I have the Blue Jays finishing third.
I got the Red Sox.
All right, I have the Red Sox fourth. Blue Jays should be very good, probably win the division now that I have them third, but I have to have them missing the playoffs because, again, my bold prediction. But they did sign Dylan Cease to a long deal, and he has very long hair and a very bushy mustache. He's an eccentric fella, I should say.
Fourth, I got the Orioles.
Fourth. Okay, and I have the Red Sox fourth. Traded for Wilson Contreras, Sonny Gray, and Caleb Durbin. Signed pitcher Ranger Suarez. Garrett Crochet is awesome. And Roman Anthony, sleeper to win MVP this year at 21 years old. He's an absolute stud. So, which that brings us to the Tampa Bay Rays.
Are they playing in Tropicana again this year?
I don't think they're playing in Tropicana. Okay, I think it's next year, but honestly, I haven't followed it enough to really know. I want to say they were not going to be back at Tropicana this year.
Yeah, I want to say it was a 2-year thing. Yeah, now that you say that, but I know it's under. At least it's underway, though. The rebuild.
Yeah, and honestly, it seemed like that would have been a good time to start thinking about building a different stadium. Honestly,
I'll be down there in a couple weeks. I'll report back.
All right, thank you. Thanks for doing that. They need Jonathan Aranda and Junior Caminero to kind of replicate what they did last season to have any sort of success, but they'll be bad. They'll be bad. AL Central, who you have winning?
I like the Tigers.
I do too. They have obviously had one of the classic choke jobs in baseball history last year, blowing, you know, I think it was a 12-game division lead with not that much time left, and Cleveland came back and got them. But Tigers did bolster their pitching staff, signed Framber Valdez from Houston, old friend Justin Verlander's back. Kenley Jansen to their bullpen, obviously, stuff. Tariq Skubal in that rotation as well. But the lineup stays the same, but they do add one of the top prospects in baseball, Kevin McGonigal, who had a very good opening weekend.
Besides the Cubs, I easily in Fort Wayne see more people wearing Tiger stuff.
I bet. I would say you're just as close to Detroit as you are Chicago, if not a little closer.
Yeah, about 2 hours.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was about to say, yeah, there's a lot, even in stores, there's some. You know, a lot of Cubs stuff. Then you'll see some White Sox and then some Tigers. So.
Surprised you don't see some Cleveland Guardians.
Do see some Guardian stuff too. That's about a 2.5-3 hour drive. Yeah.
Who you have finishing second?
I got the Guardians.
I have Cleveland finishing third. I have the Kansas City Royals.
That's Royals third.
Royals, their team's relatively the same. Bobby Witt Jr. is awesome. Vinny Pasquantino, Pasquatch, is a very good offensive first baseman. They need Jack Caglianone. Playing at Tropicana, open versus Cubbies on the 6th. Oh, all right.
There you go.
That's how. Thanks, Dad. Because I should know this, but I've been so wrapped up in college basketball. That
as you should be for another week.
I've been having a hard time even like caring that they lost 2 or 3 to the terrible Washington Nationals to start the season.
Yeah.
But Royals need Jack Caglione. I don't even know how to pronounce his name. Never have.
Sounds good to me.
To break out to hit their season. Still waiting on Cole Reagan's to become a Cy Young candidate for him. But Guardians, another team that never spends any money, and so they've stayed pretty much the same. Jose Ramirez is arguably the most consistent player in sports. He's going to put up 30 homers, steal 30 bags, play good third base.
I was talking to a Guardian fan on Friday, and I know nothing about the Guardians, so this comes from him. He said they got a young guy that is, he thinks, their best young player they've had since Manny Ramirez.
Did he say his name?
Yeah, and I don't remember. That's why I'm leaning on the baseball expert here.
I'm going to have to go look it up because I'm drawing a blank. It's a it's a Monday. So.
He said they called him up last year in the playoffs.
So called him up. Yes. I hate myself for not.
Because I jokingly said he'll look good in pinstripes in 4 years. That's what I say to a lot of people.
Yeah. Oh, is it Chase DeLauder?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. It definitely is. They did call him up. He made his MLB debut in playoffs, which is crazy, but he has struck out a ton as well, but yes, I forgot about Chase DeLauder and that he came up making his major league debut in the playoffs. That'd be nerve-wracking. They always end up much better than preseason prognosticators have them. So who you have finishing fourth?
Twins.
Actually, I have the White Sox finishing
fourth.
Twins I haven't finished in fifth. They tore it down. They have a chance to be the worst team in the American League. White Sox, they had the most active offseason they've had in years. They signed Austin Hayes, purchased Munetaka Murakami's contract from Japan, who had 3 homers over the weekend, although they gave up 29 runs in those 3 games to the Milwaukee Brewers, including they hit a leadoff homer to start the year. White Sox did.
How many games did they win last year?
I don't remember how many. They were much better than the year before, but that doesn't mean anything because, you know,
I'm giving 55 wins this year.
So our friend Aaron Lynch, who I make fun of a lot on the show just because he loves the White Sox so much, doesn't miss a game. I shouldn't make fun of him because I'd be the exact same way. I wouldn't miss a game even though they're losing 100 plus every year. He texted me yesterday and said, you can say on your preview show that White Sox are losing 130 plus.
So I said 55 wins. I told him the other day, Owen, 162 is in like not even possible. I think he thought I was serious. I'm like, I'm not serious.
Well, that's the kind of stuff that Aaron would say.
Yes, exactly.
But they, as I said, they had an active offseason. Doesn't mean it was a good offseason, but they did sign some pitchers, a bunch of relievers. They did trade Luis Robert. They'll still be very bad, but slightly more interesting.
You did share a graphic the other day, though, that points to them winning it all.
Yeah, it was Duke was a one seed. Illinois
won the Super Bowl.
Patriots won the Super Bowl. Illinois was in the Final Four. And then, the stars are aligning for the Chicago White Sox. But
place your bets now.
Yeah. American League West.
I got the Mariners winning.
I did too. Their rotation's loaded with all 5 guys could be a top 2 or 3 pitcher in a rotation. Cal Raleigh will have no shot to replicate his unbelievable year last year. But their offense still should be good. They traded for Brendan Donovan to shore up the infield, and he's leading off for him right now. Yeah, finishing second.
Astros.
I have the Texas Rangers.
I got them
finished
third.
In second. They traded for Brandon Nimmo and Mackenzie Gore. Also signed Andrew McCutchen, old man. He's hanging around. They're very.
I didn't know he's still in the league.
Yeah, he's close to 40. In fact, I think he turns 40 this season. They're
who's probably the in the league?
Probably Verlander, I would say. Position player wise, though, I bet it's McCutchen. I would say. I would say Verlander is definitely the oldest. I don't think
Scherzer's he's 43. Still.
Yeah, I would say he's the oldest. Unless, well, Rich Hill, 31. I think Rich Hill retired.
He did. He was 45 last year.
Yeah, Rangers need Jacob DeGrom to stay semi-healthy, although he was scratched from his first start with a neck, with a sore neck, so that's not going to happen. But
oldest non-pitchers, Carlos Santana at 39.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. He's, I think he's with the Rangers.
Chris Martin's also 39. Santana's reliever. With the Diamondbacks. Chris Martin's Diamondbacks. With the Rangers. He's a pitcher. Yes. Yu Darvish, 39. McCutchen, 39.
Darvish
Garcia, 39. This is MLB.com entering the 26th season.
Oh, maybe Darvish didn't.
Let me see what the article is. It says March 12th. They got Yu Darvish on the Padres. The Cubs got a guy 39.
Who is that?
Caleb Theobald.
Oh, Theobar?
Theobar.
Yeah. He had a good year
and
last
then
year.
Then Carlos Carrasco's 38, and Kirby Yates is 38. So those are your top.
Okay, eh, there's some old farts.
Yep.
About them. I have the Astros.
You're holding back there.
I have the Astros finishing third. Same team that missed playoffs last season, except they did lose Framber Valdez. Should be right around 500. They did purchase pitcher Tatsuya Ime from Japan, I should say. But who you have finishing fourth?
I got the Athletics.
I do too. Nick Kurtz.
Sacramento Athletics.
Yeah. They don't even call them Sacramento, though. They're just the A's.
I do, though.
Sacramento Athletics. Nick Kurtz is a star. Brent Rooker, Jacob Wilson, Lawrence Butler, Tyler Soderstrom have a chance to put up some runs. I wrote, pitching staff is putrid. So
putrid. Good word. Putrid.
And then we both have the LA Angels, who the Cubs play here in about 23 minutes.
Hey, Trout's got a couple homers.
He does. He does. Good for him. He has to stay healthy if they want to be and have any sort of success. He won't. Team will stink. Their shortstop, Zach Neto, is one of the most underrated players in baseball.
They were so good for so long when we were growing up.
And they haven't been in the playoffs since 2014. Mm-hmm. So, Cubs play them.
Is that the longest drought in MLB? It's got to be, right?
I want to say yes. Blue Jays had the longest up until they made it like 2016.
It's got to be the Angels. Like, I can't think of anybody else who hasn't been to playoffs.
That was 2012 last time Angels made the playoffs. Yeah, 2014. Pirates have been way more recently than them. Reds. Been
White
a couple
Sox.
Times. White Sox made it. White Sox, believe it or not, have made it in the 2020s. Doesn't seem like it, but they have. Mm-hmm. Twice, I think, in the 2020s. It was 2020 and 2021, but mm-hmm.
So the Rockies have even made it a couple times since then.
Yeah, Rockies made it in 2018. I think that was their last time. Mm. Mariners obviously had the longest stretch up until a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it is the Angels there. But
who do you got making the playoffs in the AL?
In the American League, I have the playoffs as follows. I have the Baltimore Orioles, New York Yankees, Kansas City Royals, Detroit Tigers. I have two from each division. And then Rangers and Mariners in the American League.
Yankees, Blue Jays, Tigers, Guardians, Mariners, Astros.
Okay. And I have the Seattle Mariners coming out of the American League this year. They're very close to doing it last year.
Right. I do as well.
I like it.
Who's National your AL MVP and Cy Young?
My AL MVP is Bobby Witt Jr. And my AL, who'd you go?
I went Aaron Judge again.
Yeah, it's Price. That's smart money. And then my AL Cy Young is Garrett Crochet.
I went Hunter Brown.
Okay. Astros?
Mm-hmm.
Who you have winning the NL East?
I got the Phillies because I hate the Mets.
Yep, I have the Phillies as well. They signed Adolis Garcia to take over for Nick Castellanos. Zach Wheeler starting the season on the injured list. They're older and should be good for one more go-around. One or two more years, I would say, they'll be pretty good. But, yeah, finishing second.
I got the Mets.
I have the Mets as well. Signed Bo Bichette and Jorge Polanco. They did trade for Luis Robert and Marcus Semien. They'll score a ton of runs. Pitching should be solid as well.
Robert hit a walk-off homer the other day. Yeah. Trainings, yeah.
They traded for Freddie Peralta. Glad he's out of the NL Central. There. I have the Braves finishing third.
Same.
Ton of injuries last season. Need to stay healthy. Pitching.
Maybe lower expectations would be good for them.
Maybe. Yeah, because they had a ton of expectations last year, and they were not very good. Their pitching stinks outside of Chris Sale, and they need to revert back to 2024 form offensively when they hit about 400 homers, it felt like. But I have the Marlins finishing fourth.
Same.
I think they'll be okay.
I think they'll be pesky. Yeah, a team you don't want to play late if you're fighting for a playoff spot.
Yep. I think their Peter Bendix, who's their president of baseball operations, he's doing it the right way. They'll be more interesting, at least, I should say. They signed Christopher Morel, traded Edward Cabrera to the Cubs, and makes his Cubs debut tonight for Owen Casey, who Owen Casey hit a walk-off homer yesterday for the Marlins. They should be okay. Nationals should be bad. They do have James Wood, C.J. Abrams, Dayton Lyle, very good young players to build around. Dylan Cruz has been a major disappointment. Pitching staff's bad, and Cubs lost two of three of them, and you would think the world's ending.
That city overall for pro sports is pretty forgettable.
Yeah, it's brutal. I mean, they had, you know, the Commanders last year.
Right.
But other than that, the Wizards have been horrendous. And
the Capitals didn't win a cup a handful of years ago.
Yeah.
They have Ovechkin, but the Wizards are maybe the most unthought of franchise in all of pro sports.
I think about them just because Will Riley's there, but that's it. He's having
I don't know.
Very good.
Name the two players.
Trae Young's there now, believe it or not.
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, my NBA knowledge is so bad.
Yeah, Cubs lose 2-3 to the Nats. I've said this on the show almost every year. I hate playing a bad team the first series.
Yeah.
Because they still have hope.
Right.
Where I'd much rather play Washington at home in June. It's probably an easy sweep.
It wasn't a good opening day for the Chicago teams combined.
It was terrible. yeah, White Sox hit a leadoff homer to start the game. The commentator's going nuts. And then they give up 14 unanswered runs. And then, Cubs get up. They get down 1-0, then they get up 2-1, and the next thing you know, it's like 7-2 game, and it was just kind of a forgettable opening. Mm-hmm. I always say opening day is my favorite day of the year, but it's my least favorite game. Because if you lose, the hot takes are out. Can't believe
One game in a 162 game season.
The first series I hate because you lose 2-3. It's not good to lose 2-3 to the Nats, but you got 159 more games.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
But anyway, that does lead us to the NL Central. I do have the Cubs winning it.
You remember how my bold predictions, I had a team going from last to first in the division.
Oh boy.
I got the Pirates winning the division.
Oh man, that's brutal.
Who else would you put out of all? It's just pitching
out of all of them.
Yeah.
Rockies aren't doing it. Nats aren't doing it. Angels aren't doing it.
No.
White Sox aren't doing it.
I guess maybe the AL East, whoever finished last year.
Maybe. It was either Baltimore or Tampa. That would probably be the second most thing.
Well, I'm going with the Pirates.
Yeah, that's fine. I have the Pirates finishing fourth, but they should pitch very, very well.
They just don't have
offense. They do. They did trade for Brandon Lau and signed Marcell Ozuna and Ryan O'Hearn, so they should be better. And I could see them challenging for a half season maybe. But
I got the Cubs second. I really think they will win it, but due to my bold predictions.
Yeah. I do have the Cubs winning it. They signed Alex Bregman, obviously, to a huge deal. He has two homers already. Trade for Edward Cabrera, as I said. Signed a bunch of guys in their bullpen. Phil Maton, Hunter Harvey, Jacob Webb, Homie Milner. We'll get Justin Steele back sometime this spring / summer. Also locked up PCA and Nico Horner to long-term extensions this spring. Need Seiya Suzuki to get healthy. He got hurt in a stupid World Baseball Classic, and he's not back yet. I think Cade Horton's going to have an awesome, awesome season. Shota Imanaga is concerning. I thought it was a surprise that they gave him a qualifying offer. And sure enough, the guy who would give up the most homers in baseball last year gave up three-run homer in the first inning of his first start yesterday, so that was bad. But finishing second, I have the Brewers. They traded Freddy Peralta, but they always outplay their prediction. Jacob Mizoraski needs to live up to the hype to reach the ceiling. They'll probably win 90-plus games, win the division again, even though, once again, they don't have as much talent as anyone else. I have the Reds finishing third.
I got them fourth.
Had a chance to really bolster their team after a surprising, albeit lucky, postseason berth where they only won 83 games. They were a bad team, mediocre team, but did nothing, really. I mean, they did sign Eugenio Suarez, their stud. Cy Young candidate Hunter Green is out until midseason at the earliest. Nick Lodolo starting the season on the injured list. They need Rhett Lauder and Chase Burns to grow up pretty quick in that pitching staff in order to compete for a postseason berth this year.
Friend of the show and the sponsor of the J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week was texting me today, Travis Watcher. He said, Cincinnati's 2-1. Sal Stewart, absolute stud. And Matt McClain is back to his rookie self. It caps Phil's. I like this team for Caps now.
Now, yeah, three games in, we can revisit that conversation in August.
That's why I said it verbatim. So.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with baseball these days. I've kind of been more relaxed the past couple of years and not let April or May.
I miss old J-Man on Twitter.
Oh, we both have the Cardinals finishing fifth. Yeah. Finally tearing it down. They needed to do it. Got rid of Brendan Donovan, Wilson Contreras, Nolan Arenado, Sonny Gray.
Where did Arenado end up at?
Arizona. He's their third baseman.
That's a slap in the face of the Rockies.
J.J. Weatherholt, fun to watch, though. He's one of the top prospects in baseball. Made the team out of the spring. West, Dodgers, winning that. Got Kyle Tucker, Edwin Diaz, Rich Get Richer.
Yep.
I have the Padres finishing second.
Me too.
They're pretty much running it back. They're an older team. It's hard to believe, though, that Fernando Tatis Jr. is only 27 years old.
It feels like he's been in the league forever.
It does. Jackson Merrill kind of had a disappointing year last year, but he's still very young, and they really needed him burst into superstardom, I should say.
I still talk about Tatis up here in Fort Wayne because he was a tin cap.
He was, yes. So. I do remember that. Mm-hmm. I have the Diamondbacks finishing third.
I got the Giants.
Ketel Marte, much like Jose Ramirez, one of the most consistently great players in the sport. Corbin Carroll's great. Geraldo Perdomo's a rising star as well. They did trade for, as I said, the corpse of Nolan Arenado. Starting pitching is a major, major concern for them, however. I have the Giants finishing fourth.
Yeah, Diamondbacks.
They signed Luis Arraez, Harrison Bader, Tyler Mahle, Adrian Hauser. They're boring and mediocre. They need Devers to have an unbelievable year. Interesting, though, as I've talked about in the past, Tony Vitello, their new manager, who they hired from Tennessee, University of Tennessee, was their head coach. He's had some weird comments so far. They lose the second game of the year. You know, in college baseball, you're trying to win every single game. Baseball, it's a marathon, not a sprint, where college can be more of a sprint. He said there's a lot of emotional guys in there. We really need to bounce back tomorrow. And then he said something like, I can't talk down to these guys like I could my other players. Like, oh, man. So it's only been, you know, a three-game experiment, but it's not going very well there so far. He'll figure it out. We have the Rockies finishing fifth, per usual. Very bad.
They don't have really. I mean, they got a couple young pieces, but
yeah,
they got a new president who comes from the Cleveland Browns. And the other day, he was talking about how I've never heard this term, how they have the most acreage in all of baseball.
In the outfield?
Yeah. Use that to their advantage on offense and defense. I'm thinking, this ain't going to work.
in his defense, that outfield is massive.
Yeah, but it was interesting.
That is kind of funny. They had an active offseason to trade for Jake McCarthy. They signed Michael Lorenz and Jose Quintana, Tomiyuki Sugano, to try to get outs in the rotation. Jose Quintana and Sugano give up some of the most homers in baseball, and that's not going to go well in Colorado. Mm-hmm. That's for sure, but they'll be bad. Mm-hmm. Who you have making the playoffs?
I have the Phillies as the only team out of the East. I have three out of the Central because of my bold prediction. Cubs and Brewers. Then I got the Dodgers and Padres in the West.
I have the Mets, Phillies, Cubs, Dodgers, Diamondbacks, Padres. They have three out of the West, with the Dodgers, again, going to the World Series.
I have the Cubs because of my bold prediction. I said the Cubs were going to win the NL. So.
And I have the Dodgers over Mariners.
I got the Mariners over the Cubs. World I'm sorry, Series, Josh.
NL MVP.
Because the Sonics are going to be coming back. Well, so Seattle, they won it. Oh, they won it in football. They can't win it in football and baseball. That would be weird, but I guess that's what's
going to
happen.
Well, Illinois going to the Final Four usually means something bad's going to happen to my sports team. So it'll probably be involved the Cubs. But who you have winning MVP?
I went Shohei again.
I always go bold, and I went Kyle Schwarber just because I think it'd be cool.
That'd be cool.
One. Cy Young at Paul Skeens.
I went Skeens second year in a row.
I actually have my rookie of the years down. I forgot about him. I have Moises Ballesteros in the National League for the Cubs, and then AL, I have Kevin McGonigal there.
So. Well, we are going to run over a little over time because we haven't done the On This Day. Mm-hmm. And for our sponsor, we need to do the On This Day. So we are going to get that in, at least for all the audio listeners. On this day in 1940, who won the second NCAA men's basketball championship?
1940?
I actually knew this one.
UCLA.
Indiana, because one of their five banners. They beat Kansas 60-42. On this day, 1943, who won the fifth NCAA basketball championship?
Couldn't tell. Kentucky?
Wyoming beat Georgetown 46-34.
Cool. Wyoming's got a title. Illinois, Purdue don't.
Illinois could change that. On this day in 1981, who won the 43rd NCAA basketball championship?
81 would have been, I have no idea.
Indiana again. Indiana, this day sucks for Purdue fans.
I guess.
They beat North Carolina 63-50. Remember, because Doc had shut.
Oh, that was that year. Yeah.
On this day in. I'm trying to find more NCAA. On this day, 1998, who won the 60th NCAA men's basketball championship?
98. I'm bad at these.
I knew who won it, but I didn't know who they beat. That's a surprise.
Was it UConn?
Kentucky beat Utah. 78-69.
Keith Texas Van Horn?
Second title in three seasons and seventh overall. On this day, 2001, at 15 years, 9 months, American swimmer Michael Phelps broke the 200-meter butterfly world record, the U.S. Pretty World good. Championship trials.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for the On This Day. We'll keep it short this week, which is brought to you by, like as every week, Blue River Digital. Blue River Digital is a full-service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with intention. Their focus is on system strategy and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today at 260-248-2749 to see how they can help you and your business with your digital marketing. Who is the all-time career leader in strikeouts on opening day?
I'm not going to overthink this, and I'm going to go with the guy who has the most strikeouts in MLB history, and that's Nolan Ryan.
Great guess, but no.
Randy Johnson.
Randy Johnson.
Oh, my gosh. That's who I was going to go with. That's who I was going to go with. I'm like, nope, don't overthink it. Don't overthink it. Let's do Nolan Ryan.
107.
Oh, that ticks me off.
And I'll go ahead for no prize or whatever here. But most wins. Who do you think is one of the most opening days?
Roger Clemens.
Walter Johnson with 9.
Most starts. Most starts on opening day. Cy Young.
Tom Seaver was 16.
Really?
And most shutouts.
I don't know. I don't even have a guess for it. Bob Gibson.
You wanted Walter Johnson on the mound. 7.
I guess.
7 Good shutouts, 9 gracious. Wins opening day.
Dang. It's a good question.
Thank you.
You're 3 up on me. Again.
It won't last.
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. I'm going to leave you with one thing.
I'm not
weekend,
finishing
buddy.
That.